if you were like an extra bad guy or thug in an action film, who would you want to kick your butt?
Ooh. Man. I would want Hit Girl to just come in there and kick my butt. So they could see like this tiny 4 foot tall person. Well, she's not 4 foot tall anymore because she's older now.
Borderline creepy though.
Yeah, that's like a child. And you're getting like turned on by a child kicking your butt.
Well, my last name is Childs.
Yeah, so. But it doesn't mean you gotta be creepy.
It's not creepy.
It's creepy.
I just want a child to kick my child's.
No, it's kind of creepy because you're kind of turned on by Hit Girl.
Well, she's older now.
So maybe this was a bad idea for an intro to the show. Anyway, this is the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Bangers, this is Rudy Sarzo, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.
This is Walker Simonson. You're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
It is the 25th episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. So in comic books, the 25th issue used to be like an anniversary. I don't really know why. It just always was. So it's like an anniversary today in a way.
Yeah, you know, I picked up a Spider-Man comic the other day, and it was an old annual. And actually did a review of, like, Spider-Man's villains and his friends, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, you don't have any friends, Matt, so
ouch.
We'll allow you to hang out with us.
Oh, man.
I'm just kidding.
That was just harsh.
That was... My boy's hurt right now, man.
Genuinely harsh.
This is your host, Mark, and as you heard...
annually, not annual.
Matt the Electric Monkey.
Frank T. Biscuit.
I'm allowing them to hang out and pretend like they have friends.
That's right.
So this is the 25th episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast, and for that, we're going to have a list for you again. We like to do lists. I've always kind of been a sucker for lists, like on the internet and stuff, like the 25 greatest comedies or 25 great... And I don't know, I like doing lists. Maybe it seems a little cliche and cheesy, but we like doing them on Rebel Radio, and they're kind of fun. So we've got... Our theme for the year has kind of been action films, as, you know, we've done some Retroplex cinemas and a couple episodes where we talked our favorite action movies. It's going to be our favorite action heroes today. And that's coming up in just very shortly. But gotta talk and start a little bit of sad news this week. We lost another great actor, Christopher Lee.
Christopher Lee.
Of course, Rebel Radio and TrustMeI'mAJedi.com are inspired by Star Wars. And of course, Christopher Lee played Count Dooku in the prequel trilogy.
One of the best Sith Lords of all time.
Yes.
Well,
no, I'm sorry. Hey, man. He is one of the best.
Coolest lightsaber. Come on.
I'm sorry. To me, it's Darth Vader than him.
I think Darth Maul is cooler than Dooku.
Dooku's
just like
please.
An old fart who walks around and talks political stuff.
But that's what makes him cool. Darth Maul comes in and just like, vroom, 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 I get cut in half.
Maybe it's the mystery. It's the mystery of Darth Maul.
He only lasts two movies.
Maul is cooler than Dooku.
He only lasts two movies.
Dooku lasts a half a movie and 10 minutes into the third one.
Yeah, but technically he was always there.
I think Christopher Lee is better known for his early horror roles. You know, he did a lot of Hammer horror films back in the 50s. Him and Peter Cushing, of course, was in the Star Wars trilogy, also as Grand Moff Tarkin. They did a lot of films, Dracula and
Dracula
mummy films, and the list goes on and on. The amount of horror films that Christopher Lee did, and he was probably best known for that.
And he was British.
Yeah. And what does that have to do with anything?
That's because British people are just cool as villains.
Yeah, dude, he's British,
he
man.
Was,
look at all those roles. They're either monsters or villains.
He was a Bond villain at one
See?
Point.
Another villain?
Not one of the better Bond films, The Man with the Golden Gun. It's kind of a...
But he had a golden gun.
He was the man with the golden gun in that film.
You know
film.
What would happen to most guns if they were made out of gold and you shot them?
What?
The barrel would probably melt.
Maybe.
But his was so badass, it didn't.
And if you ever played the James Bond games and you got the golden gun, all you needed was one shot, and it would just defeat the opponent with one
That's
shot.
Right, in the GoldenEye game?
Yes.
And I think that most people today, today's generation, will probably remember him as the Wizard Saruman in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And
heck yeah.
He was in the... Did he appear in one of the Hobbit films, too? Yeah,
he appeared. He did.
The last one.
And the second to last
I think
last
he had small
one.
Parts in all three of them, if I remember right, man.
Yeah. But I think the last one he definitely did.
I think it was the last one where he showed up with the Elven King.
But So, you know, that's probably Christopher Lee might be the best known to the new generation of moviegoers as Saruman.
He also narrated an animated version of The Night Before Christmas that came out on DVD. I have that DVD. My son wanted to watch the original narration through the book, and Christopher Lee did the narration.
And if you YouTube it, he sung heavy metal, Jingle Bells.
What? Yes. Oh, my God.
Christopher Lee sung heavy metal.
What? Man.
Yeah. So,
I didn't know he was a heavy metal singer, too.
He was 93 years old. You know, he passed away last week, and his estate did not release information until Thursday, you know, probably part of privacy for the family. But Christopher Lee, another great actor, going to any final thoughts on Lee before we move on? I mean, you know, it's been a tough year. We lost Nimoy, now Lee. There's a lot of rumors about a few other actors out there going, you know, we won't say nothing because there's rumors, but,
yeah.
You know, these guys are getting up there in age, and, you know, it's, and we're losing some great ones.
Wow. And we were thinking about doing that list at the beginning of the year,
too. Oh, yeah. I had talked about doing a Death Watch list where we made, like, a bet on the show where, and if, let's say someone was 85 years old and they passed, you got 15 points. They have 15 years left. And it only went to 100. And so you subtract from 100 how many years, and we would have done some silly bet at the end of the year that somebody would have to do something or whatever, but we ended up
We didn't do it because I thought it was sick and morbid.
No,
we actually, like... Like, woohoo, I won because these people died.
It actually had more to do with the delay in the podcast at the end of 2014 because I was moving and
we
never got it off the ground. But anyway, it's either here there nor there. And it's been kind of a slow week for news right now. The summer movies are kicking in. You know, everyone's getting ready for Comic-Con in July when some big announcements will be coming. We'll start getting some fall movie trailers soon. But there was a big announcement from Marvel this week, and that is The Punisher is coming to Daredevil in Season 2.
Yes.
There's been some rumors for a few weeks now about the Phase 2 Netflix TV series focusing on The Punisher, possibly Ghost Rider, and other characters coming into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Well, they confirmed it this week with Jon Bernthal from The Walking Dead is going to play... Frank Castle. And it's funny, in the press releases they kept saying Frank Castle. They never actually referred to him as a Punisher. So I wonder what kind of Punisher we'll get. If you haven't watched Daredevil yet, we might go into some spoiler territory, so just beware. But Daredevil is very much a crime drama, and if the first season ended with Fisk going to jail. And it may be interesting to see which version of Frank Castle we get. Are we going to get the... I have a feeling...
We're going to get Frank Castle.
Well, I have a feeling we're going to get the version where he's already the Punisher. He might not be going by the name yet. He could be like a vigilante for hire type, and maybe Fisk brings him in.
I don't think so.
It's all speculation. No.
I think we get Frank Castle, and he saves Frank Castle towards the end of the next season of Daredevil, almost in a way kind of works... Not works with the Daredevil, but kind of like... sides with him to a short degree,
like maybe he's a cop,
right? Cop in Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah.
He's a detective slash cop or whatever they decided he's going to be that works in Hell's Kitchen. There are a bunch of episodes, and it isn't till towards the end that, if you know Frank Castle, his family gets killed and leads into the Punisher series.
Maybe, but there's a lot of rumors that the Punisher's already in the MCU because everyone knows about the van in Captain America Winter Soldier. That apparently hits a shield car or something that hits, and it looks like it was trying to protect Nick Fury.
Yeah.
And so there's been rumors going around for a long time that the Punisher's already in the MCU and working behind the scenes. And if that's the case, then he's already out there. Yeah.
But does Daredevil take place during Winter Soldier? I thought it took place in between Captain America and...
No, it's taking place on while everything else... The whole universe is like comic books. It's all taking place parallel with things. So Daredevil is going on...
Because Daredevil takes place shortly after the Avengers.
But exactly. It's taking place after Avengers, but so is Winter Soldier and everything else. It's all... Winter Soldier, Iron Man 3, everything from Phase 2 is all going on at the same time. That's why they're not working together. Thor is over there battling the Dark Elves.
Yes.
While Iron Man is fighting extremists, while Captain America is fighting S.H.I.E.L.D., Daredevil is dealing with Hell's Kitchen while all that's going on. They're like comic books that come out monthly.
No, I'm saying that's
all going on.
I'm saying that's all going on before Avengers 2.
To an extent. But Winter Soldier took place before Avengers 2, right. So Punisher could already be out there.
I guess they would just have to clear up the timeline and how much distance is between
them. They have clarified. The producer, Kevin Feige, has come out and said everything in Phase 2 is taking place on top of each other. But before Avengers, Age of Ultron.
I think we're missing the big subplot here. I mean, the Hulk is gone. and the Punisher is coming in, you know, while the Hulk is gone, is the Punisher going to try and smooth up to Scarlett Johansson?
If you're, and you're jumping the gun,
I think
too.
We've seen him do this before in another series.
You're jumping the gun, too. Season 1 of Daredevil is parallel with everything that's going on in Phase 2. Season 2 of Daredevil very well could take place after Age of Ultron. They haven't said yet, because it's part of the next phase of things. So you're jumping. So you think about that. You know, you're trying to think it takes place right after Avengers. You have to move forward a little bit. So that's how they've already clarified that it's like reading monthly comic books. Everything's going on in the universe at the same time. Guardians of the Galaxy is going on while Captain America's down on Earth fighting Hydra. You know.
Yeah, just like whenever the
Hell movies, Cobra.
Hell Cobra. Whenever the movies first came out, they, you know, in the comic books, this all happened at the same time, and it was cool to see. I mean, they didn't really explain it like the Destroyer in Thor. S.H.I.E.L.D. actually thought that was Tony Stark's design. And while Tony Stark was, you know, fighting his own father's partner in crime, I forget the guy's name, the bald-headed guy from Iron Man, but this was all going on at the same
time. They're like comics. Like, Iron Man 2 is going on the same time as Hulk. You can see, there's a scene in Iron Man 2 where you see Hulk in the background on the screen fighting people when he calls him in. And so that's the thing. So it's sort of like they're monthly books that come out every 5 years. So Phase 1 was all monthly comic that spread out over 1 year, 2 years. Phase 2 was a monthly comic that spread out over 2 years, and now we're moving into...
Yeah, that's a long year.
And Phase 3 actually doesn't even officially begin until Captain America Civil War. Ant-Man is considered part of Phase 2 on the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So still have one more film coming out here next month.
Are we going to get into the spoilers for that? The spoilers that were released for Captain America and Winter Soldier?
Winter Soldier already came out, man.
Well, no, I mean, sorry, Civil War.
No, not really. I mean, it's all rumor speculation. You know,
but who doesn't like rumors and speculation?
I know, right?
But one thing I've always done, trust me, on Jedi.com is I usually don't report on that stuff because I fear people want to read it, then go read it. Okay. You know, I mean, just like there's all kinds of rumors out there about Star Wars Force Awakens right now, but, you know.
True. I already know how it ends. Seriously.
No, Biscuit.
You don't know how it ends?
Don't do it.
Do you know how it ends?
Biscuit. I don't even know what movie you're talking about.
The new Star Wars movie. I already know how it ends.
With directed by?
No, the credits. Every movie ends with the credits.
Lame. It's like one of those.
Did we just have a 3-year-old joke on the show?
Unless it was like in the 30s and 40s, then it began with the credits.
It's like that joke whenever you say, you know, a man walks into a bar, what does he say? You're like, I don't know, what do you say? You're like, ouch, you know. So one of those jokes where you're like, what? I don't know. That's how it struck me. That's
and
my generation.
Everyone just stopped listening to the show. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, sorry.
I hope y'all didn't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere. There's less of that going forward.
So Punisher coming to Daredevil, that should be exciting. I mean, I love Daredevil. I think it's one of the best things Marvel has done. I like the idea of telling a story over 12 or 13 episodes. And I think... the casting is good. I mean,
oh, yeah. This guy loves to punish people. We've seen
He was good in The Walking Dead as Shane. he was great in The Wolf of Wall Street and a few other things I've seen. I think that's how you say his name, John Bernthal.
Yeah, and he was in that war movie. I forget which war movie.
Fury sucked, though.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, oh, it's so good. Fury was boring. I went to sleep during that movie. It just wasn't that good.
He's a good ex-military kind of actor, which is what Frank Castle needs
to be. He's not too old, not too young. He's kind of got that grizzled look to him. You know, and I think he'll pull off the role just fine. Oh, yeah. I haven't really had a problem with anything that Marvel has cast so far in their universe of films. I mean, there's always times where you thought, oh, man, I don't know about this person. But then once you see them on screen, they always, I mean, arguably they've done very little wrong in their cinematic universe so far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, no one knew who Charlie Cox really was, and now you watch him in Daredevil, and he was excellent as Matt Murdock. The guy they picked to play Foggy Nelson was spot on casting.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
I like that actor.
Yeah, he's
like
from Idle Hands. You remember him from Idle Hands?
I don't think I ever saw that.
Yes.
And Stick, John Glenn is the...
Oh, yes.
Stick is perfect casting. I mean, everything so far, you know. And so, The Punisher coming to Daredevil in Season 2.
Heck yeah, about time.
And we'll have Jessica Jones coming up, a.k.a. Jessica Jones, the next Marvel series. I'm not really sure totally what that's about. I'm not familiar with that character. Then, of course... Luke Cage and Iron Fist are coming next year as well.
I can't wait for Iron Fist.
Iron Fist. Those
should be pretty
cool. I love Luke Cage. You know, one of his first parents, Punisher.
Well, he's going to make a cameo or have a small role in AKA Jessica Jones. They're going to introduce him in there and then he'll move into his own series.
Yeah. So, I'm not familiar with Luke Cage, but Iron Fist.
I think his first appearance was with The Punisher.
That's cool.
So the comic books. And they actually did a comic book to where something really bad happened to The Punisher, and his basically they did plastic surgery on him and alternated his skin pigment to where he was like a black person or brown person or whatever.
Wow.
And teamed up with Luke Cage.
Pulled a Robert Downey Jr. on him.
Yep.
Tropic Thunder.
Another crappy movie.
Yes.
Or I'm Soul just Brother. Jumping on crappy movies today.
Or Soul Brother.
Thunder sucked.
Soul Brother.
Yeah. You ever seen Soul Brother?
No, man. I thought that was you. I thought that
no,
was
no, no. It's supposed to be a comedy of a white guy who couldn't get like a scholarship to college because it was only for people of minority. So he like changed his skin pigment to be a soul brother.
And on that note, so before we go to the next segment of, about the action films here in a little bit, Matt, yesterday, I think it was yesterday, was Chris Evans' birthday.
It was.
What did you do?
Well, yesterday, I...
Banana split?
But yeah. let the electric monkey answer the question.
Yeah, yesterday, I tried to turn into the Human Torch, but it didn't work.
You set your balls on fire?
Did you call him? Did you tweet him or anything?
I tried, but I think he's blocked me from Twitter.
You kept trying to send him banana pictures.
Yeah, and you know, I changed my Twitter handle a few times, but he's been catching up with it pretty quick. So, I mean, I'll get to him someday.
I think as you keep bringing up the banana splits and everything, that's the beginning of everything.
As Matt said, follow us all on Twitter. You can find our Twitter accounts on TrustMeAndJedi.com under the staff page. And follow us all on Facebook and the Trust Me and Jedi page. I usually mention that at the beginning of the show. I didn't mention it now. TrustMeAndJedi.com, the home of the Rebel Radio podcast, and our sister podcast, The Warp Cave, and hopefully more podcasts coming soon. And so that's the first segment of the show, I think. And we're going to talk about our favorite action heroes of all time here next on the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men.
And this is Mike Zapsik from the same. And you're listening to
Rebel Radio. And you can find that on TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.
You're a Jedi?
Hey, you're listening to Rebel Radio Podcast. And this is Jay Muse, Snooch to the Nooch. TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. Go there and do it.
So, in the Rebel Radio Podcast, on this 25th episode, our anniversary show, we are talking about our favorite action heroes of all time. It's kind of been an underlying theme this year in 2015, we've been discussing action films. I've done Retroplex Cinemas on the Mad Max films.
Yeah, we did our top 10 action movies.
Yeah, our favorite action films of all times. I did The Killer as a Retroplex Cinema earlier this year, and I've got a couple more coming later this year, more Retroplex Cinemas. Look, he said action films. No reason why. It just seemed like a good year to discuss action films. I think part of it was with Fury Road coming to theaters and some other action films. I felt like, hey, it's a good thing to do this year.
It's a good theme.
So this is a little bit longer than usual. We probably won't break down every character. I think what we're going to do is we did 25 of our favorite action heroes. We're going to read them, say a very little bit, probably the first 10. Then we'll break down our 15. And I'll start this time because usually I let you guys start. Mark, the host with the most, is going first.
Yes, the host with the most.
Right. I have a few. Most of my characters are kind of based real world. I have a few comic book characters on mine. I had some fun with the list. I kind of took the top 10 more serious, and I did 11 through 25.
Oh, yeah.
At 25, I have Conan the Barbarian.
Oh, man.
Of course, he was one of the original action characters in the 80s. And at 24, I picked Captain America, you know, because he's the quintessential action character in the Marvel Universe right now, I think, as far as the films. And at number 23, I chose the original Django, Franco Nero, who his film in the 60s inspired a lot of spaghetti westerns, and that still stand true today as an inspiration for western films. At 22, I have Eric Draven, played by Brandon Lee as the Crow, and enough said about that. And at 21, Dalton. I did a double whammy here. I picked two Patrick Swayze characters because I couldn't choose between the two at 21. Dalton from Roadhouse and Bodie from Point Break.
Man.
So we get a double whammy and Patrick Swayze at 21. I took liberty there. So your first four on your list, Matt, you want to go next?
Man, I 25? Okay, different generation here. So I picked Neo because it is a little out there. He's in a computer world, but it was very new, the whole suspended in midair, and then he throws the kick and the dodging bullets. I thought that was really cool, you know, growing up. 24, I've got Laura Croft, you know, Angelina Jolie with guns. I thought it was pretty darn cool. Okay. The very first Laura Croft, especially. And 23, I've got Hit Girl. I just thought it was, man, she was over the top whenever she just busted in and started throwing knives at guys, and she made grown men, like, just wet their pants because she was just such a bad A. I mean, that's
what I wet his pants.
And then 22, I have Ethan Hunt, Mission Impossible. I felt like I had to...
See, I had him borderline on my top 25.
Yeah, I felt like I had to put him in there because of how many Mission Impossibles there were, and especially, you know, the face, you know, him ripping off his face and having another face underneath.
I'm not sure that has to do with action.
And the lasers. he felt like a poor man's James Bond to me.
What? A poor man's James Bond?
Yeah, that's
what you saying words. Americans are poor James Bonds?
And then 21, John Matrix, Commando.
The first of probably a few Arnold Schwarzenegger appearances on here.
I only have a few. I had to restrict myself from putting, like, Conan and Quaid.
Man, I have two on my list, but not...
I think I just have two as well. I might have three.
All right, Frank, your first four. Frank, are you not prepared for this episode?
I don't even have 25.
He couldn't think of 25 because the top 10... He has a top 10, but it was so hard to figure out a top 25 list because, man, there's so many people that can be in that, you know, 15, that bottom 15. So
I've seen more movies that I've forgotten than I remember.
Well, at number 20, I have Peter Weller as RoboCop. And for obvious reasons, I mean, RoboCop was one of those 80s films that just still stands today. At number 19, I have a double whammy, not actor-wise, but character-wise. I have Wyatt Earp, played by Kurt Russell and Kevin Costner. I like both the performances for different reasons.
Good call.
Number 18, The Bride from Kill Bill. And I think you've seen Kill Bill, you would know why.
Yes.
And number 17, Jimmy Doyle from The French Connection. Gene Hackman at his finest.
Yes.
And at number 16, my other superhero character on here is Christian Bale's version of Batman. You know, I think what Nolan did with the Batman films, yeah, they might have been more crime sagas in some extent, but they can be action films as well. And Batman is just, he's kind of a quintessential action character. If you don't have Batman on a list of action films, he's one of the few superheroes that can make that list along with Captain America. I think and I do have one more superhero on my list later on, but there's really only three or four superheroes that can transcend regular characters to be cut on an action movie.
Oh, yeah, something that could plausibly, you know, go on. Batman, obviously, I think, we have all these, you know, speaking of Batman, we have all these millionaires out there. No one has put on a suit of armor and, you know, and paid a grandmaster to teach them, you know, complex martial arts and gone out there and beat villains with their bare hands. I mean, I feel like, you know, someone should do it. Maybe Rick Perry, you know? But, okay, so my, you know, at 20, I have Mad Max. I don't know, someone may have him higher.
Yeah, a little low on the list there.
But, you know, I saw Mad Max as a kid, and I thought it was really cool. I enjoyed this latest movie the most, but, you know, great action hero, family was killed and all that, and he goes on, he's like, Rostansky is the baddest out there in the post-apocalyptic world. Number 19, I have John Rambo, of course. I feel like you have to have Rambo in this list.
Yeah, I forgot. That's a good choice.
Yeah. And 18, it was... You know, I did the same thing, The Bride. The Bride is my number 18 as well, Kill Bill. The crazy 88 scene where she's just slicing up people like a pizza slicer.
Well, it's the best scene in the saga.
Oh, yeah. And the Bam Bam, or the Wow Wow Wows, I forget the name of the band, but they're playing, and it's just an awesome scene. This may seem a little low for Mark, but I have Indiana Jones at number 17, because I was really young when I saw Indiana Jones, and I have a lot of respect for Indiana Jones.
Why did we let him on the show?
Because he is of a different generation, so yeah.
Even a different generation shouldn't have it that low. Wow.
And number 16, he's going to kill me for putting this one above Indiana Jones, but I have Alice from Resident Evil. She's better with a gun than Indiana Jones. She's probably better than a gun with Arnold.
No way.
She's genetic modified.
Indiana Jones has a whip.
I'm not saying the movies are better. Indiana Jones movies are better than, of course, the Resident Evil ones.
Indiana Jones, your list is... You realize you're going to get made fun of the rest of the segment.
Probably.
So, Frank, where does your list begin at?
Do you have a 15?
I have, like, 17 so far.
Okay, let's do 17 to 15, and then he'll... What's your 17 to the 17 and 16, and then we'll start off with 15.
Well, I Predator.
Predator.
Yeah,
Predator.
Yeah, from the first Predator movies.
Well, that's not a hero.
Well, he's a hero of his own kind.
I thought we were doing heroes and just characters in general.
No, we said top 25 action heroes, Frank.
Oh, well, I misgot the text.
We in the text, we were talking back and forth. We were talking about doing heroes and villains. But we never,
oh, I missed
we,
that text.
In Alien vs. Predator, he kind of was a hero. He tried to ignore the human,
so,
remember?
Yeah.
He tried to ignore the humans.
That's right.
The aliens were
killing
the humans.
And he won't kill a pregnant human.
Yeah, he won't.
So, there.
Yeah. It's a stretch, but...
What about 16? What's your 16, Frank?
Oh, my 16 is... Batman.
Batman!
He could have been a little bit lower, but, you know, I wanted to... I knew there was just going to be so many comic book heroes, because there's so many comic book heroes
out
there.
Well, his voice is lower. Doesn't he have a low voice? Huh?
All right, so we're getting into our top 15 here.
Top 15.
And I guess I'll kick off the top 15. Since we let Frank talk a moment, at least.
I'm sorry, it was just hard.
At number 15, I have Dirty Harry. Could have been higher on the list. This is where the list gets hard. When you get to the 15, and Frank's right.
Yeah, I would have to throw Dirty Harry in my list.
It's tough to do 25, but the top 15 were tough for me as a moviegoer. I probably have a couple in my top 15 that y'all don't. Like this next one at 14, Al Jong, played by Chow Yun-Fat from The Killer.
Yeah, I couldn't remember his name. I was going to throw in.
I mean,
he's in there, but I couldn't remember his name.
At number 13, Wolverine, of course, by Hugh Jackman.
Yes.
Needs no description.
See, I was going to leave all my heroes like towards the end, my top 25. I just never got
there. At number 12, we're really going to break down our top 10. At number 12, my second Chow Yun-Fat appearance, Detective Tequila from Hard Boiled.
Yeah.
The hospital scene alone is one of the greatest action films ever seen.
I was about to say, the hospital scene.
And then at number 11, this arguably could have been higher, I have Ripley from Aliens. Okay, that's my 25 through 11 so far before we get in the top 10. What is your 15 through... whoever wants to go first.
Go ahead,
I have two that are listed the same on your list, but we'll go through them. Number 15...
Did you break into my phone?
I don't know, man. This is crazy. Okay, so I have Sarah Connor at 15. Linda Hamilton in Terminator 2.
I forgot. See, this list is very hard.
Oh my God, a female action hero like that, she's doing the pull-ups... And she looks crazy and demented, but she's also a badass.
I guess I'm kind of a womanizer. I don't think I have one. I didn't put one female on my list.
Oh no! Well, you put Ripley.
Yeah, oh, Ripley. Ripley. You didn't have Ripley.
And was she all the way female?
I know, right? Because she's half alien.
Oh, I'll do her.
And then
say that out loud.
Number 14, I also have a Jong. I mean, two 45s.
Wait, did you say I have a who? What?
A Jong.
A Jong.
Yeah, 245s, slow motion. Enough said, man.
The church scene at the end of that film is just like, that's just pure cinema. Bullets flying everywhere. They don't care if they run out of bullets. They reload. You don't ask questions of where the bullets came from. It's just classic John Woo and The Killer.
And then you release doves. Or is it pigeons? It doesn't matter. Some dirty bird.
Yeah, but so me and Mark collaborated on number 14. Same pick. 13. Major Alan Schaefer, Predator. Greatest handshake ever, between him and Apollo Creed. If it bleeds, you can kill it. And, I just found him as one of the better Arnold action heroes of all time.
Dylan, you son of a bitch.
And then for 12, I had Blade. I felt like I had to put a vampire hunter on here. And if I'm going to put a vampire on here... It's not going to be Van Helsing. It's going to be Blade. Wesley Snipes.
Well, Van Helsing hasn't had a proper movie done for him yet.
No, he hasn't.
Maybe one day we'll get one.
One day. When they start doing these reboots. In 11, same pick as Mark, our host here. I had Ripley, Alien, Ellen Ripley. Girls with guns, they get noticed, man. And
Mac,
Ripley.
I'm not getting too excited.
Oh, okay. Calm down. Chris Evans might hear me. So... Frank, before we get into our top 10, what's your 15 through 11?
Well, before I say my 15, I wanted to say I was going to add on my list Flash Gordon. Not the Flash, but Flash Gordon.
See, I kept It's funny. I had Flash Gordon on my list, and as I was making my list, he kept dropping down. Only because, not that I don't love him, he's a character like Van Helsing. I love the 80s film. Don't get me wrong. We like it for cheesy reasons. But he hasn't had that film yet where he really gets to be Flash Gordon.
It's not just the films, but it's also the character. You know, an Earthling sports player...
But
beating up aliens.
But our focus on this list was films. We're just doing top 25
action. I still like the cheesy aliens.
We're just doing 25 action characters. Yeah, Flash Gordon, you could be on it. But no, you're right. Go ahead.
But anyway, so my number 15 was Captain America.
Yes.
You know, I think he's done, you know, Chris Evans has done an excellent job at the character. The way the character's portrayed on the big screen and all the movies that he's been in has been very well done. So that's why... He's even on my list. Otherwise, it would just be another comic book character, you know. And that's the reason why Batman's on there is because a lot of good actors have done the role. They might not have played a great Batman, but they've done but they were great actors. Number 14, an obscure movie that probably only Mark knows here, Buckaroo Banzai.
Buckaroo Banzai.
Have you seen Buckaroo Banzai?
No, but I know.
Oh, you need to see Buckaroo Banzai. And then another one that's an obscure one is Remo Williams. The Incredible Remo Williams.
I don't know that one.
Yes, he's awesome. And then, on top of that, I have, and that was my number 13. Number 12, Luke Skywalker.
There we go.
See, I cautiously stayed away from Star Wars characters on this. I love Star Wars, as y'all know.
But I didn't. I was going to, but I didn't.
I was trying to make this list a little bit more... different than always talking Star Wars characters. Yeah.
No, I mean, but it's the character. I like the character from where he started, from a whiny little dirt farmer.
He brought balance to the force.
And part of
the
reason why becoming a hero and saving.
There is going when we do our Star Wars episodes leading into The Force Awakens, we're going to be doing our favorite Star Wars characters.
There we go.
That's right, the reason I kind of left them off.
But that, I'm not going to leave them off just because of that. I like from where the character. Has started off to where we know him at today, not including where he's going to be in the new movie. You know, because we don't know what's going on with him in the new movie. And number 11, Bourne.
Jason Bourne.
Exactly. I mean, I was skeptical about those films when the first one came up. I was like, I don't know. And I saw the first one, and I was like, that was pretty fun. And there's been a lot of movies that actually copy the Jason Bourne formula.
Yep.
And I'm sure Jason Bourne copied that from somewhere else because there's really no original ideas, but it was still really done well on the big screen.
Well, I have Jason Bourne here coming up, and Jason Bourne was actually written as a Cold War version of James Bond. The writer, Robert Ludlum, who's now passed on, he actually admitted that he kind of stole from James Bond and made a Cold War version of James Bond. So we're getting to our top 10. My number 10, and... this is probably one where Matt's going to be like, oh my god, you have him that low. Even though this guy over here puts Indiana Jones not even in the top five.
I'll give him because of his age.
You know, it's the T-800 at number 10.
There we go.
Terminator 2, one of the greatest sequels of all time. There's not a whole lot you can say about it at this point about Terminator that hasn't been said before, even on this show. Mm-hmm. We talked about Terminator on the Rebel Radio podcast a few times. And I think he's mostly on the list for Terminator 2. Because Terminator 1, he was a bad guy. Terminator 3, let's not discuss. And then 4, he's not really even in it. He's a CGI version of him. So that's my number 10. Who do you have at 10?
At 10 for me, I have The Dark Knight. I have Batman a little higher. I like the whole storyline. And
there's nothing wrong with that. When I was making this list, kind of like with the Flash Gordon, I had Batman higher, and he just kept dropping down. I was thinking of names that go above him.
This can be anywhere from 15 to 1. You know, these characters kind of fall into the same little mix. What about you, Frank?
At number 10?
At number 10, Mad Max.
Mad Max. Yes.
You know, just a survivor.
He is a survivor.
I mean, that's plain and it. It's just a survivor. You know, he helps out people, but for the most part, he's a survivor.
Who runs Bartertown, Frank?
I do. What about it?
At number 9, I have Jason Bourne. Again, like Frank kind of said, that character came out of nowhere, and people end up loving the films, and there's rumors of a fourth one coming soon, and Matt Damon's hopefully going to come back, and we'll see. Not a lot more can be said about Bourne that Frank already said. So who do you have at number 9, Matt?
Yeah. I am Iron Man. Iron Man.
Really?
Yes.
As an action character?
Yeah, I did. I mean, it's plausible.
I am. I can't say it.
I know, right? I like him as a hero. I mean, he's not as noble.
Is it Iron Man or more Tony Stark?
I guess it's more Tony Stark, I guess.
Because Tony Stark is Iron Man. I mean, Iron Man's not a character.
Yeah.
It's a name for a comic book hero, but it's more Tony Stark.
I mean, because he saw the corruption in his company. He went away from making weapons, and now he's doing clean energy.
Well, I wouldn't say he's gone away from making weapons.
Hey, it's a high-tech prosthesis.
From his company selling weapons. How about that?
So what about you, Frank?
Oh, at number 9, Ethan Hunt.
Nice.
Yeah.
And number 8, Martin Riggs, Mel Gibson.
Oh, yes. Lethal Weapon.
Lethal Weapon. I mean, you know, just watch Lethal Weapon. You already know why he's one of the greatest action hero characters. Man. He's kind of a cop on the edge, a little edgy, but he's a bad.
Also on my list.
MF-er.
They put him in a straitjacket, and he dislocated his shoulder so he could get out of it.
Heck,
it was
how
awesome.
You gotta do it.
And again, that might be an age difference thing.
Hey, how many times did he dislocate his shoulder in that series? At least 3 times, I think.
Yeah.
And number 8, Matt.
Number 8. I'm gonna be 3 for 3 here on comic book characters, but you know I had to get him out of the way because I can't put a comic book character top 5. So I'm going to put Captain America because he's good for the sake of good. He's Dudley Do-Right mixed with, you know, a superhero soldier serum. He's got the heart, and I think he's what a hero should be based off of if you're talking about heroes. I mean, because he is the American hero. He punched Hitler in the face millions of times.
And he's Matt's man crush. Frank, and number 8.
Ripley. Unlike you two, I'm not a male chauvinist pig.
He's not, he had like 5 women on his. I'm the one who only had 1.
Oh, yeah, that was you that's a male chauvinist pig. But no, I really love that character. I love tough women. I don't know how many. I don't like the frail women. I want a woman that can stand by me and kick some butt, and I think that's a character that would stand by me and pick up a gun and kick an alien's butt.
There you go.
So, yeah, I like strong women.
At number 7, I have back-to-back Mel Gibson's here. I have Max Rockstansky at number 7.
Yes.
Growing up, me and Frank, with the Mad Max films, he's always one of my favorite characters. People already know I'm not going to do it again, but how much I love the new film.
Yes.
And so Max is my number 7.
Well, my number 7 is the Knight Rider! No, I'm just kidding.
Knight Rider?
No, I don't. He's the villain from number 1.
He never had a movie.
I know, right? Number 7, the man who brought balance to the Force, Luke Skywalker. He fulfilled the prophecy and brought balance to the universe.
Okay, number 7.
RoboCop. And the reason why I like RoboCop is because everything that...
Well, the Peter Weller version or
the first ones. Yeah. I like the first ones. And even kind of the cheesy made-for-TV ones, because I own all of them. But my thing is I like the fact that here's a character that has everything humanly possible about him ripped away, literally, except for a little bit, but he never lost what made him human.
It's
you
true.
Know, love and compassion, you know, the you know, his family and all that. So the character itself is still...
A small tear to my eye.
See? I can even make Mark cry with RoboCop.
Dead or alive, you're coming.
At number 6, I have Lee from Enter the Dragon, played by Bruce Lee.
Yes.
You could have taken any Bruce Lee role that he played and probably put him on a list somewhere.
I could have just rounded out my whole 25 with Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris.
But he could have maybe gone a little higher. You know, I mean, could have flip-flopped him with my number 5, which I'll say in a minute maybe, but I just felt that it was a good place to put him on the list. Your number 6?
My number 6 is Aragorn from Lord of the Rings.
Another one I had on mine, but he kept falling down as I was making a list.
I put him high because, you know, and I had to debate on this. I was like, okay,
was he an action hero or more just of a noble hero of what he does?
He was afraid to be the king. He was afraid of this responsibility.
And here's my thing, and this is what's fun about lists. We all have our different views on things, and that's why my list, I guess, because... I openly admit that I'm more of a cinemaphile than you two are. Y'all watch movies, but I probably watch movies. And me, I was thinking pure action. That's why I left like Luke Skywalker and Han Solo Journeyman off my list, where y'all think more of the journeyman stories, like Aragorn would be more of a journeyman story. I was thinking more pure action.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I see where we can all come at this differently.
Oh, yeah. So it's just like when we had action movies of all time, you know, we had a thing where, you know, Terminator, it could have been classified as really a sci-fi movie.
Right.
But it was kind of sci-fi action. It's kind of borderline. And so it could go either way.
Aragorn, good choice. Number six for you, Frank?
Han Solo.
Han Solo.
Reason why I like Han Solo, he's a scoundrel, a smuggler, a lover, and a hero.
All the things Frank's wish he could be.
Oh, yeah.
All the things I wish I could be, you wish you could be, you wish you could be, and let's be honest, every woman wants. That's why it makes him so badass. Except,
but he's a scruffy nerf herder.
But he's badass. And he has a hairy Mexican with him. Chew.
At number five, I have Clint Eastwood's character, The Man with No Name, in the Dollars trilogy.
Good stuff.
And, of course, we're talking A Few Dollars More, A Fistful of Dollars, and The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
I would love to have
one of my favorite, one of my three favorite westerns, one of my favorite trilogies of all time. Growing up watching Eastwood in those roles, he made me want to be a cowboy. The Man with No Name is one of my top five action heroes.
For number five, I have the man who inspired Daniel Craig to have a realistic take on the James Bond films, and that's Jason Bourne. Because I feel like it spurted this better series of Bond films with Jason Bourne being so practical and, you know, not like the Pierce Brosnan kind of stuff where you have all these cool gadgets. Which is,
to an extent, but it's funny because Casino Royale and the Bond reboot was inspired actually more by Batman Begins than it was Bourne in some ways. You know, maybe the writing style, but they actually saw what Warner Brothers did with Batman and Begins. They're like, man, we need to reboot Bond like that.
Really?
Yeah.
I read that it was kind of, maybe it was inspired by both. I read that it was also inspired by Jason Bourne. Yeah, it could have been by both. But I have Jason Bourne in there. I mean, a sleeper.
Yeah.
No, goes, you know, and picks up his skills. Maybe one day I will come out of my sleep.
And you're number five, Frank?
Well, I know he was on one of your lists, but it's actually more of a team duo for me. Riggs and Murtaugh from Lethal Weapon.
I'm sorry,
you can't have one without the other.
Well, it's like funny.
That's a buddy, it's funny, hero action.
I had the Ninja Turtles on my list, but they fell out of the top 25, and I couldn't separate them. It was just the Ninja Turtles.
Yes. Yeah, you can't separate the Ninja Turtles. I mean, you kill off one, then you only have three.
At number four, I have Rama from the Raid films.
Oh, yeah.
Probably the newest hero on this list of all that, to me, jumped into the top five immediately. The Raid films, I think, are incredible pieces of action cinema, unlike we've seen since the days of John Woo, since the days of Bruce Lee doing the things they've done on screen. And Detective Rama for me in the Raid films is awesome. I can't wait. They say the Raid 3 is probably not going to happen until 2018, but I can't wait. Bring on more Raid.
There we go.
And number four, Matt?
Number four, I have James Bond. I figure a series that
has okay, we're done.
No, he made it within the top five. He made it within the top five.
We had this debate. I was trolling y'all. But yeah, James Bond, number four. I love all the Bond films, especially the Sean Connery versions. Those are probably my favorite ones. I mean, enough said. You say James Bond, you know all about him. He's shaken and not
straight. Your list sucked back when you put Indiana Jones at 17 anyway. So. All right, Frank, number four.
Well, apparently somewhere it got erased on my list was Indiana Jones. It was all there, but that's why my list looks screwed up. So I'm going to say that Indiana Jones would have been on within my top 10, and that's why it looked funny to me. But my number four is Darth Vader. And yes, everybody's going to go, oh, but he was a villain. No, but at the end, he was a hero because he saved Luke Skywalker. So there, suck it and suck it if you try to say he was a villain throughout the whole series.
You're right.
But he's
an action hero. He didn't do anything the whole trilogy except go, you don't know the power of the dark.
He fought with the lightsaber.
Yeah, for like 5 minutes.
And he choked people.
Yes.
He talked all badass with a deep voice. And it could have been a sucky British voice.
Mark, I find your lack of faith disturbing.
At number three, I haven't. My top three could put them in a hat and pick them all three out, and they could all be number one. And my number three is the one where Matt totally screwed his list, is Indiana Jones. I mean, Indiana Jones growing up was the action hero, along with James Bond, who, I will go ahead and spoil it, is number one on my list. But number three is Indiana Jones. I mean, the films still stand up so strongly today. Whether you like the fourth one or not, who cares? The character Indiana Jones is just such a strong action character, and he still is influencing films today. I mean, obviously the first Captain America film was heavily influenced by Indiana Jones. Director Joe Johnson even admitted it. Mm-hmm. You know, and Indiana Jones is number three.
For me, John McClane, Die Hard, and you know what? I watched Die Hard last night, and I just Man, I like that movie more and more as I watch it. This Die Hard 1 and 3 are probably my favorites out of the whole series. And, I mean, enough said. John McClane, Cop from New York.
Frank, number 3.
I think Matt just said it. John McClane, yes. Number 3.
Well, that I have him at number 2. One higher. Again, he could have been 3, 1, 2, 4.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother.
Cowboy.
Yeah, the Die Hard films are great, except for that god-awful fifth one. The fourth one, yeah. I like until he's flying on the side of the jet or whatever.
I only count the first two, or maybe three.
The fifth one, that Good Day to Die Hard, Bruce Willis should have taken that script and they handed it to him, folded up and wiped his butt with him and handed it back to him. It was so bad.
He didn't do it whenever they handed the script to the whole nine yards thing.
Well, you got to think that Bruce Willis had a comedy background. He'd come doing, what was it, Moon? What was the show? Moon?
Moonlighting.
Moonlighting. Yeah. You know, so I don't knock Bruce Willis for doing the comedy films. I'll give him that. You know, but the fifth Die Hard film, oh my God. So I had him at number 2. So our big number ones. Matt,
I haven't done number 2.
Yeah. Oh,
wait. You did your number 2.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Number 2. Sorry.
Number 2 for me is the Terminator. It has to be the Terminator. I mean, he starts out cold, right? Okay, so he just has this mission.
He's going to... Oh, okay.
He has his mission. He's cold. And, you know, John Connor, he teaches him how to be human. And, you know, I think from that point where he says, you know, why do you cry? And he's like, oh, we cry when it hurts. And then at the end, whenever he has to terminate himself, he says, I know now why you cry.
Well, because that's so action excitement right there.
Dude, he has everything, man. He's a stone cold, you know, metal skeleton under living tissue. You know, he's a protector. And he's got a minigun.
Rank at number 2?
James Bond. Yes, he could have been number 1. But, and there's a reason why he's only number 2 is because he doesn't give me the same, like, hell yeah feeling. Well, as my number 1 does whenever I watch my number 1 movies.
Before I say my number 1, which I already kind of spoiled anyway, what was your number 1, Matt?
Lee, Enter the Dragon. I feel like Bruce Lee could do that.
How come a feeling that he picked the same character?
I don't know. I don't know what he picked. Lee from Enter the Dragon.
No.
No, his was later, I think. But Bruce Lee could have done that in real life. I think he could have taken on a whole island.
Well, and that's my thing is that's why I had him a little bit lower on the list. It's funny you mentioned that because I actually thought about that. I'm like, Bruce Lee did that for a living. You know, it wasn't really acting or creating a character for him. Mm-hmm. And that's why my whole idea when I sent you guys a message about this list is like, who were great characters created? And Bruce Lee, because he lived that life, I think Enter the Dragon obviously is his quintessential film role ever. But I stepped him back a little bit because he could have been that guy. He didn't have to be created for him. You know what I mean?
True.
But it doesn't make him any less worthy of a number 1 or 2.
No.
It's just like I felt like these other characters were created. That's why I put them above him a little bit. You know, but you can easily take the top 10 people and you could take them out of a hat and any of them would be great action heroes.
Oh, heck yeah.
So what was your number 1, Frank?
Well, my number 1, reason why I picked my number 1 is because it falls in the line, at least the first two fall in the line of movies that I would have to say fall in line with the watching the Back to the Futures and the Karate Kids. They're movies that I don't get bored watching over and over again, whether you like them or not, but it's Terminator. You know, the first two, I can watch it over and over again and just not get bored. If they're on, if I'm flipping channels and they're on, I'll stop and watch them. You know, I'll forget other things that I was watching halfway through and like, oh, Terminator's on. I'll watch the Terminator. You know, there's just one of those characters that just excites me, whether it's from the bad guy version from the first one or the good guy version from the second one. I just really enjoy those movies and I enjoy the character and everything.
We all suck, but no, I'm just kidding. Number 1 for me, of course, as I said, was James Bond, because to me, James Bond is from the books that he was created for in the era he came out of, there's probably not a single action film ever that's not been influenced by James Bond in some way. And whether it's Asian action films, American action films, Indonesian, European action films, they all owe it to James Bond. And it's very difficult listening to y'all's list and just think that someone can't have him as number 1 on their list as James Bond. Not that there's anything wrong having Terminator or John McClane as number 1. But And I'm not trying to claim I'm the best, even though I am the best. But but it's very difficult to not say that Bond is number one because of the influence he simply had on cinema. Mm-hmm. And we've the adventures are continuing with Spectre coming out later this year, which looks absolutely fantastic. Skyfall was great. From Roger Moore, Sean Connery, to all the guys who have played the role, Bond has always been there. And without James Bond, we don't have John McClane. We don't have Jason Bourne. We don't have Ripley. We don't have characters like Sarah Connor and strong characters that, you know, and that's just, and maybe not in cinema, but people forget that Bond started before cinema. His books were influencing characters,
right?
You know, and things like that. And I think that's why Bond is such an important character on this list of, he should be in your top five, and I think he was for all three of us, you know.
Yeah. So I would say, and a collaborate put together, when you have somebody that's so highly up on all the lists, overall he is kind of technically number one, you know.
Yeah. And but you know, it was fun to do. I like I said, I like doing lists. I don't know why. I've always been a sucker for lists. I'm on other websites and I see they have a list of top 25 science fiction movies. I'll sit and I'll read it real quick. I may not read the whole thing, but I'll see what they list. And I've always liked that. I've liked the used to open Wizard magazine, you know, and they have their top 25 Wizard animated TV shows or whatever. I don't know. I've always liked lists. I'm a list guy. And so you get that sometimes on Rebel Radio, and we really hope you guys enjoy it, too. And we encourage you to be interactive with us. Like, I was a little late this week, but last night on the Facebook I put up, we're going to talk about our action movies. What are some that you like? And we encourage you guys when we do this stuff to reply to us so we can talk about on air what our listeners like to their favorite films are, or whatever. We'll do some more lists, I'm sure. Like I said, we've got other stuff coming up on Rebel Radio, but we hope you enjoyed our top 25 action heroes of all time, even if the Biscuit had to go and choose a few villains. But, you know, he's our own personal villain. So, top 25 action heroes of all time here on the Rebel Radio podcast.
This is Booker T, Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Rebel Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
Hey, this is Marky Ramon, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
So this has been the 25th episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast, kind of an anniversary issue, as you would say, if this was comic books, you know, yes. I don't know. And you can find us at TrustMeOnMagenta.com, along with our sister podcast, The Warp Cave, hosted by the evil Dr. Tran. And Matt just made an appearance on his show talking Jurassic Park, and if you're wondering why this is the week in Jurassic World came out, we didn't really talk about one because Warp Cave's got it covered big time. Two, me and Frank ain't seen the damn film yet. So, you know,
too many damn people.
But TrustMeOnMagenta.com is the home for us, and we've got our new YouTube promos that we filmed last month, and if you haven't seen those, we talked about them on the couple episodes ago on the live show we did at Compalooza, and we hope you take the time to go to our YouTube channel to watch those. We got Matt playing the Punisher, which we talked about in this episode, Frank playing the Kurgan from Highlander, and they're really cool. We really enjoyed making those, and we want you to watch them, and we hope to do more of those later this year. We've been talking about doing some horror Halloween ones, maybe. We'll see how that works out, and I've got some deleted scenes and some extra footage I need to bring y'all to from that last shoot, and which I might even save till the next shoot. Who knows? We'll see how these play. But we encourage y'all to go watch those. And we encourage y'all to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Google+, anything social media. We're there. So you can get all the latest on TrustMeOnMagenta.com. And most important, go to iTunes or Stitcher and subscribe to us and leave us a review. Because it helps us. It helps us. We don't plead for this very often. We're going to plead a little bit today. If you leave us a review and a 5-star rating, it helps us get into search engines better so that people can find the Rebel Radio Podcast, so that if you enjoy listening to it, your friends may enjoy listening to it too.
Yes! Do it now!
And as long as Frank doesn't scare you by yelling all of a sudden.
Do it now!
In my right ear. And
turn us off and just go do it now!
We're going to turn Frank off.
You Shia LaBeouf.
Top 25 action films. You know, this summer we still got some more action films coming up. We still got Ant-Man, and we've got Mission Impossible Rogue Nation.
Terminator, which y'all talk Genesis. About.
Y'all both had Ethan Hunt on y'all's list.
Uh-huh.
Terminator Genesis, which I'm still not sold on. We'll see. I'm still very cautious on this film. And so it should be a good summer for some more action films. And the king of action, James Bond, coming out this November with Spectre. And Christoph Waltz is the villain. Oh, it's going to be so awesome. He's such a good actor.
He is.
You know? It's just like you watch those trailers and just his the one little line he has in it where it's, "We've been waiting for you, Mr. Bond," just right there. You're like, "Wow, I can't wait to see it." Stop touching the toys, Frank.
The toys. And,
so, any thoughts on this episode before we go?
Man, I can't wait to do another review of some action movies because we have some coming out in theaters, like you said, and you know, we'll definitely be running a show on those.
And you don't get to talk anymore. And also, look for, I hope to get out later this week, of course, at Compalooza 2015. Mark, your host for the Rebel Radio Podcast, was on a podcasting panel. I have the audio from that show, and I'm going to be releasing it as a special episode, I hope, later this week. So be looking for that at TrustMeAndJoy.com, the special episode, if you want to listen to the podcasting panel. You'll get to learn a little bit more about podcasting and how it works exactly.
Right.
And so I think that's it for this time on the Rebel Radio Podcast, our 25th episode. And we'll be back again in a couple weeks probably, because next week is Father's Day weekend, so I think we're taking a break. But in a couple weeks, we'll probably be back with a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. And we thank you for listening. This has been
Matt the Electric Monkey.
Frank T. Biscuit.
And this is your host, Mark, signing off. Till next time, hasta la vista.
Do it now! Okay.